Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, dear listening audience. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. Now, this is an interactive call-in show, and we do want to hear from our listeners. In fact, we have a copy of Laura Wayman's wonderful book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, for you when you do call and interact with us with a question, comment, and there are no silly questions, by the way, only a lifetime of interest and learning and growing together. And now, without further ado, welcome to the Dementia Whisperer. It's Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Scott. It's always so good to hear your wonderful radio voice. It's just so reassuring, and I am so honored to be on this great media platform with you. We are so lucky, aren't we? We are blessed to have this opportunity to reach out. Yes, thank you so much. And as always, I want you to take a minute to talk about your experience, because I have learned so much from you, and I feel like we have done such a great job making this radio show, this whole exciting blog talk radio platform. We've done a really good job getting this information out and to the people who need this kind of information, those caregivers, whether you're a professional caregiver or a family caregiver. So, Scott, take a minute to talk about your experience and how we came together to do this great venue.
Well, thank you, Laura. You know, when I got involved in radio, the whole purpose of getting involved in radio was because I wanted to know more about how we could live the best life we could, body, mind, and spirit, literally. I was a much younger man at that time, but I got involved for that very purpose, and I pursued that path, and I never really looked at it as a commercial vehicle. I guess that's to my own default, but I certainly got the opportunity to live and grow and be with hundreds and hundreds, and I guess maybe even thousands now, of professionals from all fields of health, wellness, mind-body relationships. Everyone from John Gray to Deepak Chopra, from the largest spiritual leaders to people perhaps that, and I often brought people to the airways and have and still do, that maybe weren't as well known, but I found great validity for ourselves and resonance with their message for us as human beings. And so to continue this growth then with you on dementia and senior care and all the different aspects of everything from Alzheimer's to dementia to health, wellness, every aspect of working with senior community. Of course, now I'm a part of that senior community, if you will, the age of 66, and working around that senior community quite a lot, as my wife is a representative of Clear Captions, a company that specializes in those who are challenged with their hearing, with captioning phones that are available to seniors, veterans, in fact, anyone with hearing challenges. So it's interesting how that's evolved, just as our relationship has evolved, Laura. And I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to have you come to me to work with you on your media. And so that's been a great learning curve for me as well. And that's allowed me, frankly, to step professionally into roles as marketing in some senior care, of creating other media in senior care, and to continue that journey together here on Live with the Dementia Whisperer. So thank you.
You are so welcome. And I feel like together we are bridging that gap between the dementia awareness or unawareness that often the medical community has as well, and helping everyone, including family caregivers, medical professionals, professional staff, leadership in this whole dementia care arena, to better be prepared to connect emotionally, like you had just talked about. How can we connect emotionally and helping them understand how important that is? So today we're going to be talking about some medical approaches that are so beneficial for those with dementia. And we're going to get into that here in a minute. So I want to welcome our dear listening audience, and we want you to know you are not alone. If you have any worries or concerns or anxieties, or if you simply need advice, inspiration, encouragement on your dementia journey, you've certainly tuned into the right place today. Scott and I stand ready to help you with all of these challenges that you might be experiencing. So we encourage you to stay with us today. And this hour, we'll be taking your calls and talking about the newest information in the world of dementia, how to better manage the symptoms, spending some time learning about dementia from very different perspectives. And I'm excited to share our guest today. We're going to be talking about her in just a minute and all the information she's going to be talking about. That is a huge resource that I want our caregivers to understand. They are not alone, and there's these extra special supportive people and organizations, and even within the medical community, that stand ready to help you. And we're going to start right now with news and views from the world of dementia, our very first portion of our show today. And Scott is going to welcome everybody with some information about dementia. He always does such great research, and that's what we need to do. That we just can't learn enough about this and about research or possible treatments that will help manage symptoms. Whatever it is he has to talk about today, I'm always so looking forward to your information. So for those of you that are listening, if you'd like to call in with some perhaps additional information, articles that you've read that you would like to share, questions, even personal questions about your dementia journey, we'd love to hear from you. And the number you would call is 929-477-1393. Call in, and we'll gladly welcome your call at any time throughout this show. So, Scott, would you like to take over with news and views from the world of dementia?
I certainly will, and I want to also, at the end of the news, we're going to actually talk about some thematics about the show today on dementia and palliative care and some of the differentials between them, and so you can have a better understanding when we open our conversation with our great guest today, Jenna Medina, the healthcare services, RX Healthcare Services, and she is working there as a patient care coordinator, and I'll look forward to hearing about her journey. But as in the news, as of 2015, latest tracking, nearly 47 million people around the world had dementia. That's 47 million. Now, this is 2018. I'm sure we're probably approaching the mid-55 million by this time. A memory problem significant enough to affect your ability to carry out your usual tasks. The most common cause of dementia is Alzheimer's disease, as we often talk, but there are other forms as well. And since there's no cure for dementia, it's important to know about the risk factors that may lead to developing it. For example, interesting, researchers have learned that older adults with slower walking speeds seem to have a greater risk of dementia than those with faster walking speeds. This might want to put a little pep in your step. And again, this is all research. Recently, the researchers in the United Kingdom teamed up to learn more about the changes in walking speed. changes in the ability to think and make decisions and dementia. And they published a study in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. They examined information collected from the English Longitudinal Study of Aging. The study included adults age 60 and older who lived in England. The study used information collected from 2002 to 2015, so it's quite an arc of time there. It's 13 years. They assessed patients' walking speed on two occasions, 2002 to 2003 and then 2004 to 2005, or whether or not the participants developed any dementia after the test from later on in 2006 to 2015. Then they compared the people who developed dementia with those that had not. And what they discovered was nearly 4,000 older adults they studied, those with slower walking speed had a greater risk of developing dementia. This is all mind-body connection. Who knows where we're going to find some of the main keys to suppressing, perhaps, and even maybe even preventing some forms of dementia from appearing. The people experienced a faster decline in walking speed over a two-year period were also at a higher risk for dementia, and people had a poor ability to think and make decisions when they entered the study than those who had cognitive or thinking abilities. They declined more quickly during the study. And the researchers concluded that older adults with slower walking speeds, those who experienced a greater decline in their walking speed over time, were at increased risk of dementia. But the researchers noted changes in walking speed and changes in an older adult's ability to think and make decisions, of course, do not necessarily work together to affect the risk of developing dementia. But so for what that's worth. Interesting, physically fit women nearly 90% less likely to develop dementia. This comes from the 15th of March, believe it or not, from, again, the American Geriatric Society. This is from the American Academy of Neurology. Women with high physical fitness at middle age, there's another testimony to staying in shape, were nearly 90% less likely to develop dementia decades later compared to women who were moderately fit, according to a new study. The study measured the women's cardiovascular fitness based on an exercise test. Now, the women with high physical fitness at middle age were nearly 90% less likely to develop dementia under the study, of course, decades later compared to women who were moderately fit, as so says this article from March 15th in an online issue of Neurology, the medical journal of the American Academy of Neurology. And it studied their cardiovascular fitness, actually. Highly fit women did develop dementia. They developed the disease on average 11 years later than women who were moderately fit or at age 90 instead of age 79. That's a tremendous amount of quality years there. So at the least, staying in shape sounds like the way to go. Absolutely. These findings are exciting because it's possible that improving people's cardiovascular fitness in middle age could delay or even prevent them from developing dementia, so says a study author, Helena Horder, who's a PhD of the University of Gothenburg in Gothenburg, Sweden. She said, however, of course, the study does not show cause and effect between cardiovascular fitness and dementia. It only shows an association. More research is needed, as it always is, it seems to be, with dementia. But that's not going to stop me from getting out and working out more in the morning, folks. March 7th of 2018 from the University of California, Irvine. As we get older, it's not uncommon to experience senior moments in which we forget where we parked our car or call our children by the wrong names. And we may wonder, are these memory lapses a normal part of aging, or do they signal the early stages of a severe disorder such as Alzheimer's disease? Currently, there's no good way to tell. Well, it turns out that the University of California, Irvine-led researchers, however, have found that high-resolution functional magnetic resonance imaging of the brain can be used to show some of the underlying causes of differences in memory proficiency between older and younger adults. The study that appeared just this month in the journal Neuron involved 20 young adults, 18 to 31, and 20 cognitively healthy older adults, 64 to 89. And the participants were asked to perform two kinds of tasks while using fMRI scanning, an object memory task and a location memory task. Because fMRI looks at the dynamics of blood flow in the brain, investigators were able to determine which parts of the brain the subjects were using for each activity. In the first task, they were viewing pictures of everyday objects and asked to distinguish them from new pictures. Some of the images were identical to ones they'd seen before, but some were brand new and others were similar to ones they'd seen earlier. We may have changed the color or the size. We call these tricky items the lures, and we found that the older adults struggled with them. They're much more likely than younger adults to think they've seen those lures before. The second task was nearly the same, but required subjects to determine whether the location of objects had been altered. Here, older adults faltered quite a bit better than in the prior task. This suggests that not all memory changes equal with aging. So says Zachary Rigg, who participated in the study as a graduate student at UCI and is now a postdoctoral fellow at UC Davis. Object memory is far more vulnerable than spatial or location memory, at least in the early stages. That's a rather interesting idea to realize right there. Meanwhile, our thematics today is all about dementia and palliative care on Live with the Dementia Whisperer. What is the difference? Dementia is a deterioration of the brain. Although the disease progresses slowly, it finally causes the brain to stop working. Families caring for a loved one with dementia need a lot of support and assistance, and getting palliative care early is important. Dementia symptoms and treatment, palliative care can help. Palliative care is specialized medical care for people facing serious illnesses like dementia, and the goal is to improve quality of life for both you and your family. You can have palliative care at any age and at any stage of your illness. You can also have it together with curative treatment as well, and palliative care is provided by a team of doctors, nurses, social workers, other specialists who work together with your other doctors to give you an extra layer of support. Palliative care is much about helping the family as it is about treating the patient suffering from dementia. And palliative care teams are a very valuable resource for family caregivers who often face, of course, terrible stress on a 24/7 basis. And this is because the patient's fading memory is gradually joined by the loss of hand-eye coordination, motor skills, the kind of things we were just talking about, ability to dress, bathe, and so on. People with dementia begin to not recognize hunger and thirst even, and lose the ability to feed themselves and the ability to eat, unfortunately. Unless clear medical directions have been set up at the earliest stages of dementia, families and caregivers often must face heartbreaking decisions about when a patient can no longer eat even, and frequently they must decide whether artificial feeding through a tube, so on, is called for. Unfortunately, medical research shows that neither feeding method actually works to prolong life. They might even cause more lung infections and pneumonia, of course, because, well, anytime you're intervening into the body with anything, it's not a good thing. So that's another challenge for caregivers, is that the dementia is sometimes hard to see because it progresses slowly, as Laura Wayman surely knows so well. So those are some great, great challenges in dementia, and, of course, the need for palliative care. And I think, without further ado, Laura, we have been joined by Miss Jenna Medina.
All right. Let's bring her in.
So we'll say hello and good evening to... Hi, Gina. How are you? This is Scott Cluthie. Good evening.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share this wonderful bridge between home health and hospice called palliative care.
It is so exciting, Jenna, and I have had the wonderful opportunity of referring a very dear family member to Jenna and RX Healthcare recently, and unfortunately, this particular family member did pass very recently as well. And Jenna, I have heard nothing but rave reviews from the daughter, who said that you truly did give this whole person care as a team. You held her hand. That's what I am so excited about talking about, because that's what our families need. So, Jenna, can you tell us a little bit about what you do and what is RX Healthcare Services? And then let's jump right in and help everyone understand why they should be asking for this kind of help.
Well, I am a patient care coordinator, a patient care coordinator with RX Healthcare Services. And what that means is I am the liaison between the families and the doctors to help the family get the care that they need without stressing out over paperwork and running to and from offices. That's my job. I take the ball and I coordinate with the doctors, the nurses, the the pharmacist, the patient, and usually if they're in a community, not coordinate with their staff as well. It's a wonderful job. It's very rewarding. And yes, the family that you referred to me have worked. I took them on as they were. It's so rewarding. Very much for that. RX Healthcare Services is a company that's run by nurses, owned and run by nurses. They've been around for 27 years and just really are top-notch, cream of the crop, loving, caring professionals that take the whole approach, the whole person approach to care. And that goes from just care providing, non-medical, all the way to end of life. It's a full continuum care company, but palliative care is really my soft spot. That's the place where I feel helps the family with respite while the loved one is being taken care of on a daily basis.
So explain palliative care. What does that mean? When you have a family that comes and asks for this kind of support, what support are you giving them?
Palliative care provides symptomatic supportive care to patients between doctor's visits. They are still allowed to go to doctor's visits, stay on their same medications. If they're on dialysis, continue their dialysis. There's no change in any kind of care. It's an additional supportive support to the care that they're providing. It helps patients navigate complex medical conditions to their home settings, provides connections with community and community resources. So if there's, you know, respite that's needed or maybe they need Meals on Wheels, I am a great resource as well as our palliative care team to get those resources to these individuals. There's a lot of families out there that don't, or a lot of individuals that don't have families to be able to support them, and that's what we do with case management. We offer pain and medication management with our RNs that are on site, provides full professional interdisciplinary team for the patient. So we have a full team of RNs, pharmacist, a medical director, behavioral health doctors, decreases potentials for ER visits and hospitalizations. And the beautiful thing about palliative care, it's all covered under Medicare. There's no out-of-pocket expense. And this care that's provided goes anywhere between 12 to 18 months at a time with no break in service. Once that 18 months is reached, then the patient is reassessed. They either move into a hospice situation, which is more of the comfort care, or they graduate off of palliative care. And that happens quite often. If they're not able to graduate and the patient is declining but not ready for hospice, then we reassess and we put them back on palliative care for another 18 months.
And I think you'll agree, Jenna, when I say that this is the gap in care and services, the medical gap in care and services that has been going on for a long time with dementia, because dementia's kind of been volleyed back between the assisted living and the non-medical care and the medical care that they need, because when they're in assisted living, that's considered non-medical care, and yet they often need this extra support that you are describing as palliative care. So this is what I am so excited about this, because up until recently, when palliative care has really been hitting some of these communities and just really getting to be an option, up until a few years ago, it just wasn't really there for those that have dementia, because we have to think about dementia, when a cause of dementia strikes someone and they begin to have dementia symptoms and then they need more and more care, there is nothing the medical community can do to prevent it, to cure it, to treat it. And yet, they may not yet be ready for hospice care, which is that comfort care and they may need this in-between care. So that's why I'm so excited to be able to offer through you this for the clients that I'm working with that are so ready. They're not quite at hospice yet, may not be for quite a while, actually, and yet they really are not getting appropriate care just with the non-medical that they may be receiving in the home with non-medical support, in-home care, or in communities that are also giving them that quote-unquote non-medical care. I'm sure you agree with that, but quite honestly, Jenna, I don't know how we're going to keep up with all this now that the word is getting out, because I know you are extremely busy. So do you agree that's what palliative care, that's why the relationship between dementia and palliative care is so important. I know that's what you're seeing out there, right?
Yes, it is. And the beautiful thing with palliative care, it's a full body approach. So not only do they get the support that they need in the home with activities of daily living like feeding and dressing and bathing, they get the med management, they get the companionship in the home. This is above and beyond what home health does. Home health is making sure that they're healthy enough where a nurse doesn't have to come in anymore. Palliative care treats the chronically ill patient who may or may not have a terminal prognosis. So it goes from 12 to 18 months. So that allows the patient to feel comfortable where they're still a sense of independence. Even though there is that dementia diagnosis, everybody wants to keep their independence of some sort. And these doctors, these nurses, these CNAs allow that to happen within the home environment.
It takes a village, and palliative care is a village made up of doctors and nurses and other professional medical caregivers, and often at the actual facility where that person is living or in their own home. And I just can tell you of thousands of times, literally thousands of times, that I, for example, would be working with a family caregiver. Perhaps they were elderly themselves, caring for their spouse, and that caregiver is frail and needing more attention and needing more help with that, those activities of daily living support to that person who has dementia in the home. And yet they want to be a part of that care. They don't want to give up on that. And they're not, that person with dementia isn't really ready for skilled nursing. And so there was that in-between times that we didn't have any help. So I just want to give a big shout out to RX Healthcare, to you, to other organizations who are seeing the need for this palliative care, and then the wonderful news that insurance can help pay for this, because that's the other horrible thing that we work with often is that it's so expensive to access this care, and most of the time in the past, this kind of care for those with dementia was not available unless it was private pay, totally, right, Jenna?
That's correct. And fortunately for us, under our home health licensure, we're able to offer palliative care at no cost if you're a Medicare recipient. So there's no out-of-pocket expense, which is a godsend for most families because it is super expensive and it used to be private pay where nobody could even afford a week, much less 18 months. Palliative care is at the discretion of the physician and the patient and or the patient. So if the patient decides, you know what, I need more help in the home, they can tell their doctor, you know what, I need some more help in the home, and I have a company that offers palliative care. I would like you to write me an order for that. As soon as our nurses come in and assess, our start of care plan starts right then and there.
You know, I want our listeners to hear this. This is huge. This is help that we didn't have in the past. We should be very excited about this. We do need to start really appreciating all of this, these new options. And the way we can appreciate that is to have these conversations with our medical professional and say, wow, I heard about this palliative care and that I can access more care, and how do I do that, and can you help me with that? You know, really educating the medical community about this really exciting new option. We're going to take a quick break, Jenna, and our listening audiences are going to take our half-show break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to talk with Jenna, and she's going to kind of walk us through a scenario about what does it mean if we're asking for palliative care? What kind of care does that mean, and who does that help, and how does it help us? So we're going to really paint a picture of how exciting this is, and have Jenna hold our hand and kind of walk us through this here in just a minute. So thank you so much for being with us, Jenna. We're going to take a real quick break. So, Scott, can you take us into the break, please?
Absolutely. And we do want to remind listeners of Live with the Dementia Whisperer that the Dementia Whisperer has what the family and professional caregivers really do need. It provides various resources for families and professionals: family consultation, care management services, specific tips to help families on how to resolve conflicts and cope with Alzheimer's and other causes of dementia together, trainings and on-site consults with professional dementia caregivers, tips on local and long-distance caregiving as well, care coordination to help families better manage caregiver responsibilities, partnerships with senior care providers to ensure a continuum of care all along the journey, just like we're talking with Jenna Medina this evening from RX Health Care Services, a patient care coordinator. And very interesting to learn that Medicare recipients are now can now get 12 to 18 months coverage of palliative care. And I'm not sure what happened legally to open that up for us, but that's a really big deal. And as Laura was saying, these bridges, without a bridge, you can't get from one side to the other, and life does seem to be a series of going from one side to another, and when you pass one country, you pass into a new country, and you do need a way to get there across these bridges of continuum of care, and that is the continuity of care that people often talk about. That's what it's really all about. By the way, the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, has a newly released DVD, The Encyclopedia of Dementia Care for the Family Professional Caregiver, and you can also check out her new revised edition of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. The book and the DVDs are available at her website. That's laurawayman.com. And, of course, we always want to hear from you. We'll be back with more here on Laura Wayman, Live with the Dementia Whisperer. This is co-host Scott Cluthi. Stay with us, won't you, please? You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for
taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums, 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards, 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Back with you live on Blog Talk Radio, your host, co-host Scott Cluthie, along with Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, and our special guest this evening is Jenna Medina, who works as the Patient Care Coordinator with RX Healthcare Services, and very excited to learn about palliative care and how that is now available for 12 to 18 months periods for Medicare recipients. And Laura, I think that was a great point you were talking about, bridges. You know, it doesn't really occur to us. And oftentimes, those are the times, aren't they, Laura, that we're in really in a panic of what to do and who to talk to. So this is important information for people to keep track of, isn't it?
It absolutely is. We need to give these caregivers so much more support because the dementia journey can be quite long, quite involved, quite challenging, very arduous. And so along the way, I think what we can do to kind of help you understand what we're talking about with this palliative care, I'd like to set up a little scenario because I often run into this when I'm working with family members. As you had talked about, Scott, I do consulting with family members, so often they come to me in different phases of their journey. So let's just imagine that a daughter, which happens all the time, an adult daughter comes to me and says, you know, my mom has pretty advanced dementia. My dad is caring for her in the home, and actually they're living in an independent living, senior living apartment, so they are really struggling because dad is having to give mom full care in the fact that he has to really think for her as she loses more and more of her normal brain function. Now, memory loss is an issue, but that's not the biggest issue usually. Usually what's happening is mom is not able to choose her clothes anymore. She gets extremely agitated if you ask too many questions because you're making her think. And so you can't ask her, does she want to wear this or does she want to go eat in the dining room or any of those. And so that caregiver, let's just call him dad is having to make all of these decisions for mom constantly, and she continues to decline. And so the daughter decides that perhaps what they need to do is move to a higher level of care, assisted living and memory care. So they make that move, which is traumatic for everybody, but it's necessary to access the care. And as you go along, all of this stress and care demands is really starting to have dad decline in his health. He is physically being affected by having to do all of these, helping mom with activities of daily living, helping, you know, making sure that she stays clean and she's fed and all of those things all day long, 24 hours a day. And the daughter's trying to come and help, but now they're in assisted living and they're getting some support. And then they have to move to memory care because they need more support. Now dad's health is really beginning to fail, and he's needing some medical support as well. So this is when often I will reach out to our guest, Jenna, who is a patient care coordinator with RX Healthcare Services, and they provide palliative care. Now, dad's not quite ready for hospice care yet, so we're not quite there yet, but now I have this wonderful option. So, Jenna, I'm going to have you take over this story and just say what kinds of services, when I sent the daughter to you, what kinds of services did you provide? What could you provide with palliative care? And then let's talk about kind of that bridge, because then in a fairly short time, it jumped over to hospice care. So can you kind of take over and explain to our listeners what we mean when I said I handed this family to you?
So what happens in a scenario like this, the adult child is usually the one that's taking over. the care, the financial responsibility. So they're the decision makers. So with that, I asked them a few questions, the date of birth, what address they're at, who's their primary care physician, of course, their phone and their fax. There's a couple other pieces that I ask in regards to diagnosis, their living conditions, who else is in the house. And with that, I put together a home health order, which is a one-page order that I fax over to their primary care physician and also to my intake department. So now everybody has seen what this order that dad need, is it dad or is it mom? I'm not sure. I think you said mom, is in need of more care than what home health has offered. Usually what happens is a patient gets discharged from a skilled nursing or from a hospital, and a nurse follows them from the hospital, and that's called home health. When the patient is deemed better and thriving, then the home health order stops, and that's usually about 6 weeks. When the family member comes in, the daughter, and sees, you know what, they still need a lot of care. I'm not comfortable with them living alone. And even though there is care in the community, but it's not enough to buffer the times that the staff are able to get to them, that's where palliative care comes in. So if dad is getting baths Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and needs medication management, you know, 5 days a week, and maybe doing some kind of activities of daily living, brushing and shaving and that kind of thing, but it's not happening on a daily basis, that's where our staff comes in and takes over, where the other community staff can't get to, because there is a limitation when you're in a community. You have 24-hour care, but that doesn't mean that they're in your room 24 hours. So that's where we come in. We are that buffer, that bridge, as you want to say. And we do. We take care of the activities of daily living to allow that opportunity of independence. We make sure that the medications are proper. And we have a pharmacist on staff, and with our medical director in touch with the patient's primary care physician, they all look and make sure that the medications that the patient is on are proper. There's not too many. There's not medications that are overlapping that could cause behaviors, because when you have a dementia patient that has to actually move from an independent to an assisted or memory care, it is very not destructive. I don't want to say that word because it's very heavy, but it's very difficult for people that don't understand, why do I have to move? I'm comfortable in my home. And but it has to happen because there's more care that's needed. So then we make sure that the medications that they are on are not causing behaviors, and maybe add something that relieves that anxiety. And that palliative care is just a wonderful bridge to help out once that home health order ends and they're not ready for the diagnosis for hospice, for that comfort care, then palliative care is a good segue in to make sure that that patient is taken care of. And then once palliative care ends, that same nurse, if need be, once hospice is needed, that same nurse follows into that hospice role. So there's not a change of doctors and faces and people coming in and out of the room, which is very distracting.
So I'm sure you would agree that basically palliative care fills the gap for patients who want and need comfort at any stage in their disease process. And it's with a palliative care program, there's no expectation that life-prolonging therapies will be avoided. So that's different than hospice, and we're going to kind of get into that. It's important to note that there's different kinds of palliative care programs and different precepts that are outlined in them. And so, I am just so pleased that there's so much more. And so it's important that our listening audience, if they're thinking about asking for palliative care, that they contact you that they contact a company like yours, and hopefully they will reach out to you. Jenna, we're going to give your contact information here in a little while so that you can help to continue to educate them about what you can provide. And because a lot of times, don't you feel that the families come to us, whether they're asking for Dementia Whisperer emotional support or education, or asking for information from you about your healthcare services, palliative, hospice, whatever it is, they don't even know what questions to ask. And so what do I ask for? Because I'm not even sure I understand what I can ask. And that's why I feel so strongly about this radio show, our programs of for both of us, outreach into the community and way beyond, educating people on dementia awareness, helping them to understand what it is, what we can help them with, what we're limited to help them with, and constantly looking for more resources such as yours, which is such a help in this whole long journey. So now that we've kind of walked through what palliative care might look like in a scenario, and of course everyone's different and everyone has different needs, when is it really appropriate to start talking to people about hospice care? Let's talk about that for a little bit, if you would like, Jenna. What does hospice really mean?
Okay, well, this is palliative care versus hospice. Palliative care is begun at the discretion of the physician and patient at any stage of illness or terminal or not. Hospice eligibility requires that two physicians certify the patient that has less than 6 months to live. If the disease follows, it's a usual course. So the doctor has to have a diagnosis of 6 months to live, and that could be anything. It could be COPD. It could be a cancer. It could be you know, there's all. I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. But there's many different diagnoses that people. An end of life happens, and it doesn't have to be cancer. Most people think in order to get a hospice care, you have to have cancer in 6 months to live, but that's not the case. So what hospice is, it provides support and care. It's a comfort care for those in the last phases of life, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the end of life. A lot of people graduate off of hospice care, and it's like a team effort. So our medical director gets involved with a primary care physician, and they decide, okay, we might have to take this patient off of all the medications that there are and just supply, pain management. And if pain management makes that person feel better, because a lot of times a lot of medications inside a person's body where they're not strong enough is very taxing. And once they're off all those medications, it's amazing how people turn around and they start getting the sparkle back in their eyes. It also recognizes dying as part of the normal process of living. It helps you understand that this isn't a scary process. This is just what everybody goes through. We have a wonderful staff that is our case management that has our I want to call her a minister, but she's not that, and she's non-denominational. Her name's Cindy. She's wonderful.
She
walks the. I'm sorry. Yeah, chaplain.
Is she your chaplain?
Thank you.
Yes.
She's wonderful. She walks the family through the process of every step. You know, the DNR, the funeral process, all that, and whether they need it in a week's time or 6 months' time, at least now the family is prepared, and they can wrap their brain around enjoying their loved one while they're there instead of stressing out and it being an emergency situation. Because nobody wants to live the last parts of their life in an emergency situation going back to and from the hospital. That's another thing that hospice allows, is they don't have to go to the hospital anymore. There's no more ER visits. The doctors and the nurses come to you. The hospital is in your home, which is a huge relief for the patient and the family. That way they don't have to leave. They don't have to worry about how they're going to be transported. It neither hastens or postpones death. It's just a natural process. It's just comfort during those times, during that time where your body is ready to say, you know what, I'm ready to move on. It offers comfort, like I said, to the patient and loved one, and our staff is phenomenal. I kind of call it a boutique hospice because they're more of a family unit than a corporate or a franchise. We are a family-owned, run business, and everybody that is taken on for care is treated like their family. It's beautiful. I love what I do. It's very rewarding.
And I have to say that I have had the honor of training some of your staff, meeting with, of course, you and others on your staff. And I have to agree, Jenna, that it just exudes this warmth, and they truly are sensitive to your needs. They talk to your feelings. It's all so important that, you know, along with the wonderful experience and knowledge that you have medically and clinically, I know that this particular company has gone above and beyond for that, what we like to call the bedside manner, and it's so important for dementia because, as you were mentioning, when someone with dementia has to go to the ER, it is extremely traumatic, and that's that word that you were looking for when we were talking about transitions from moving from someplace. It's traumatic, and we don't like that we have to do that to someone, especially when they have dementia and they can't process it, and we can't help them to process it because their thinker's broken. And so what we have to do is think of ways to ease them through that trauma. And so not having to drag them to the ER constantly when they're already in perhaps physical pain and they're frightened and anxious about what's going on around them, we don't have to put them in that loud, noisy, frightening place of the ER. And instead, like you said, you can bring that hospital staff to them in the home. It is so important that we access that help, especially end of life, when there is so little ability to process what's going on around them, and we just, it's the best way to support them. And so having the opportunity to work with your staff and train them and give them that extra little boost of a loving approach to dementia care, of course, I always like to be just talk about that because I know it's so helpful, and it just really validates me that we're all building this wonderful village and managing this, the most horrific illness of our time, the very best way we can, learning from each other, building a village for these caregivers, which is so essential. So, Jenna, was there a personal situation that you'd want to share about how you got into this business? How did you get here from being just Jenna to being the patient care coordinator at RX Healthcare?
A little bit of personal information about me is I grew up with a special needs brother. And him being autistic and mentally retarded, he got a double whammy. So his thinker is also broken. And the lights in an ER or whatever puts him into kind of a spasm. And I'm very empathetic with that. And he is also in an all-boys home. So I'm very familiar with care providers. I'm very familiar with the red tape of this industry and how hard it is to get the resources that you need. And I've become an advocate. And I just so happened to fall into a non-medical care company that was allowing me to help. And I just, it was so rewarding to me that I thought, you know what, I'm going to move on beyond non-medical and learn a little bit more and be that advocate for these people that don't have a voice anymore. And it's been the best move I've ever done, and it's allowed me to, you know, reach out and educate people that have no idea that there are resources, there are people that can help, there are companies that provide things for people that can't afford it. And it's just the RX has been a huge catapult for me to be able to get on that level to be able to, you know, spread the word that, you know, there is help out there. And it's kind of special to me, to my heart, especially since I have an aging mother, and I know I'm going to personally have to go through that myself.
Yes, and you know, I grew up in a family where my mother was a foster mother, and she only would take into our home those with very, very special needs. So I grew up with many foster brothers and foster sisters who needed exactly the kind of support that you are talking about. One of my brothers had cerebral palsy. One of my foster sisters, she was blind. I had autistic foster brothers and foster sisters. And so I indeed grew up around this same environment. I think that's why we have this same perspective, Jenna. So
mm-hmm.
I saw how it was so difficult for my mother to find the help that she needed. And then, ironically, later in her elderly life, when my mom and dad were living their retirement dream, he was starting to show more and more signs of dementia, and how she struggled getting the help that she needed. There just wasn't the help that she needed. And unfortunately, she tried to do it alone, and we, the children, did not realize the traumatic and extensive stress that this put on her. And so then one night, my mom and dad were home alone. My mom had been caring for my dad for about 15 years through his dementia, and it had advanced to a very, very advanced level. And she was providing the full-time care without asking for help. And one night, they were home alone, and she suddenly had a massive heart attack. He was so far advanced in his dementia, he did not realize she needed help. So by the time help arrived, unfortunately, my mother was gone. That's how I learned the hard way that we must give support. We must help these caregivers through education and encouragement and get them the help that they need and allow them to feel guilt-free about asking for this help. And, you know, that's why it is so important to me that I have these kinds of partnerships with you and with other healthcare professionals in this area and across the United States as I travel around and help the world become dementia aware. It is absolutely essential. So thank you, Jenna, for being who you are, for wanting to come alongside me and give the support needed for these family members. I can't do it without you. And if you, our listeners here today, if you would like to contact Jenna and find out more about palliative care and RX healthcare in general and hospice care and all of the wonderful things that Jenna is providing through this great organization, may I give your mobile number, Jenna? Is that okay?
Yes, please do.
Okay. You can call Jenna at 916-521-8389. That's 916-521-8389. Or you can email her at jmedina@rxnursing.com. There's also a website where you can go find out about RX Nursing. It's www.rxnursing.com. And their office number is 916-485-8200. So if you want to get a hold of me as the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, you can give me a call on my cell phone, 916-792-7512. You can visit my website at www.laurawayman.com, or you can also email me as well at help@laurawayman.com. If you have questions, if you need support, if you want to find out more about Jenna and RX Healthcare, if you even have other totally off-topic things concerning dementia, please give us a call. You can also call us here. Next month we'll be having another wonderful guest talking about the whole dementia journey. And our closing thoughts today for both professional and family caregivers is by Mara Batonis. And her quote is, "If you learn to listen for clues as to how I feel instead of what I say, you will be able to understand me much better." And caring takes courage. It takes courage to reach out for help. Thank you so much for our listening audience. Thank you. I am just forever grateful to you, for Jennifer being here today, for helping me on this journey and helping. I'm so honored to be a part of your team. I would like to invite everyone to listen in next time. And Scott, if you could take us out, thank you so much. What a wonderful day. And I just wish you the best until next month.
All right, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, our special guest today, Jenna Medina with RX Healthcare Services. Don't forget, you can reach out to them at their office number, 916-485-8200. And, of course, at laurawayman.com, find out more about the Encyclopedia of Dementia DVD and the latest edition of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. Till next time, be kind, take care, everyone. This is Scott Cluthy wishing you a great day. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com, and join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com, and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.